ESPN suspended its Take No Prisoners podcaster Bill Simmons after he used some colorful language to say this about NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell's claim that he did not see that damning video of Ray Rice punching his wife.
I just think not enough is being made out of the fact that they knew about the tape and they knew it was on it. Yeah. Goodell, if he didn't know what was on that tape, he's a liar.
Simmons then said, I hope someone comes to tell me I'm in trouble, which ESPN did, announcing a 3-week suspension and raising questions about the close ties between that network and the NFL. Thank goodness it's Mike Pesca Day. We get to ask him about all this. He covers sports for Here and Now and hosts The Gist at Slate.com. Mike, your first thoughts when you heard about the suspension?
I kind of couldn't believe that ESPN did it, but then on second reflection, I understand the bind they were in, if you want to say that. What Simmons did, now who Simmons is he's the most powerful name in sports media, I would say. Yeah. Definitely the most powerful opinion maker, and he runs a subset of ESPN called Grantland, and he has a huge contract. And I have to say, he's very good at his job, and he's provocative, but not stupidly so, and he's informative. And I'm a fan of Bill Simmons. But in those statements, he didn't just say, I think he saw the tape or make an allegation. He flat out said a statement that he couldn't back up. And that's against ESPN standards, even if it is an opinion podcast. Even if the general context of that podcast was him and a writer, a friend of his from Jimmy Kimmel's show, predicting who will win all the NFL games via point spread. But when you say that and when you dare ESPN to suspend you, then you can expect a suspension. And I would bet that Bill Simmons not only wasn't shocked by that, he probably likes it. It burnishes his credentials as a guy who is not beholden to the NFL, which is a corporate partner of ESPN. And I know I've gone on so long that maybe you'll suspend me. But let me also add this, that even though there's billions, you know, in toto dollars changing hands between ESPN and the NFL, ESPN has done some very, very good journalism on the subject of Roger Goodell, and the NFL offices often stonewall and don't even give comment to ESPN reporters like Don Van Atta, who does excellent journalism on Goodell, because maybe the NFL sees that some part of ESPN is our partner and some part are antagonistic reporters.
Well, let's just listen to the challenge that he threw out, because if you didn't hear it, you know, it's pretty remarkable. And this is someone, for those who don't follow Bill Simmons, this is someone, if you follow his tweets, for instance, when Roger Goodell gave that speech, Bill Simmons tweets, I'll mention a tame one, blah, 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 blah. I mean, he's been very critical of Goodell. And here's what he said after he called him a liar.
If one person says that to me, I'm going public. You leave me alone.
We may
the commissioner's
have to
a liar, and I get to talk about that on my podcast. Please call me and say I'm in trouble. I dare you.
But as we said, they did. But Mike, you're saying maybe you don't get to say on your podcast that someone is a liar, that there's a legal issue there.
Yeah, there certainly is. And if someone other than Bill Simmons, who's not as skillful at walking up to that line, and maybe he did cross it, you know, Bill Simmons had just said, I think he's a liar, he'd be fine in terms of libel and slander. But, you know, you can't allow, if you're a corporate employer, it's poor form to allow one star to get away with a lot more than other, even opinion makers would be allowed to get away with.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because it feels like a lot of reputable columnists have been, as you say, walking up to that line. But this was flat out crossing it. Moving on to some other stories you are noticing. One really interesting about the NFL, you are asking why there are no black long snappers in the game. That is fascinating. But I'm hearing many people say, what? Long snap. What's a long snapper? Remind us.
Long snapping, that is the most obscure position and perhaps the most ridiculous position in sports, but it's necessary. It's the guy who bends down and looks between his legs and snaps the ball 15 yards to a punter or 8 yards to a field goal holder. It's necessary. If you don't have a good one, you can miss that field goal.
Right. If you throw it over their head.
Or if it goes in the ground, it'll be you. Or you know, right now the Browns are looking for a new one because that guy messed up a couple snaps. And they are rostered NFL players making hundreds of thousands. None make a million a year. But yeah, the stats, this site Best Tickets, there's a guy who was compiling sort of a census of the NFL. And I knew that there was one black punter and almost no black kickers, and there are reasons why. I've never really considered the long snapper statistics. 29 white long snappers, none of any other ethnicity. So I kind of asked the question why that was.
Mm-hmm.
And
I took a sip while you were and what was your answer?
Well, what I did was, I mean, I talked to a few people, but I talked to Jamie Cole and Chris Rubio, and those guys run the two great long snapper camps. Yes, there's such a thing, high school students who aspire to be college long snappers. But the fact that there is such a thing is pretty much the answer. To be, if you're a great athlete, you'll be found out for the most part, although Michael Lewis in The Blind Side says that that isn't even as efficient as we might think. But if you're a really fast kid or if you're a really great linebacker, someone will say, hey, go to this school or come to my camp. But long snapping is a question of resources. And even though these camps don't cost $1,000, they do cost some money, a few hundred dollars to go to. And if you don't go to the camps, no one, the guys who run the camps are the guys who tell college coaches, these guys are the long snappers. But it's also, when I say resources, it's not just how much the camps cost. It's you have to know how to navigate the system. You pretty much have to have parents who are plugged in, because even high school coaches don't know about this. You have to have someone who says, I want to get my kid a scholarship, or you have to be the kid who's motivated to get a scholarship and do it this unconventional, uncool route. And so that's why it's mostly been white kids. It's a kid who maybe is not that athletic, but you know what? He could work hard. He has good technique. We'd want you on a team. Maybe that's the kind of kid where a coach would say, hey, you do this. Mm-hmm. And so maybe some racism comes in. You know, maybe a coach will not think of a black, not too athletic, but highly technical kid to do it. Maybe he'd first think of a white kid to do it. But mostly I think it's resources.
No, interesting question, interesting answer. While we have you, we just have to address the huge, the seismic sports event happening this weekend. Derek Jeter is going to play his final home game at Yankee Stadium. Then interesting, it's a series with the Red Sox that comes back here to Fenway Park, and we're not sure if he's going to play those games, but this is it. Tickets selling for as much as $10,000 for some seats at Yankee Stadium. Just remind us, he's been getting, you know, just greeted with love across the country as he's played this summer. Remind us why.
Yeah, well, he's fifth on the all-time hits list, and he's won 5 World Series, and he leads the league in that ineffable category of every other player saying, he's the guy I've modeled myself after. And there's something to be said of consistency. So he's been good to great most of his career. He's been boring, which is kind of fascinating in that he stayed out of the public. He's like a Tom Vilsack or an Arnie Duncan, the two surviving cabinet secretaries, insofar as continuity says something. And when you're talking about the Yankees, you're talking about tradition. And so that's why, you know, he kind of scoops us up in a bit of nostalgia, the way he is, who he plays for. It's enough to make you sick if you're not a Yankees fan. But even if all the plaudits and all the commercials for Gatorade or for Nike or for whoever are too much, when it comes down to actually Derek Jeter and what he's accomplished on the baseball field, it still even makes Red Sox fans feel good, as I saw in a commercial once.
Well, I think that if he does play on Sunday, and that is his last game, they are going to go crazy for him. But big tune in for the Yankee game, the last game at Yankee Stadium. Mike Pesca, who covers sports for Here and Now and is the host of The Gist at Slate.com. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.